Hello, I am Gabriel, lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson, and I just want to wish you a happy Independence Day weekend. And welcome to this Sunday's youth-oriented worship stream. Here at Grace Communion Richardson, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through community or neighborhood engagement, all out of the compelling love of God expressed in Jesus Christ. We would love to know where you are watching this stream from and who you are watching with, so please feel free to share that with us. And also please feel free to share your comments, any comments that you may have. And if you have any prayer requests, please don't hesitate to send us your prayer request, and you may send them to the email address at the bottom right corner of the screen. I know a number of churches are in the process of planning to go back to in-person worship, and some already have. And I know a number of us miss being back to in-person worship. We are in the process of planning, and we want to make sure that when we do go back to in-person worship, that we continue to be available and present online in order to serve those of you who are online and may only be able to do so, that is, worship with us online. So we are preparing to go back to in-person worship while at the same time remaining online to share the gospel with you all. So please join us in prayer as we go through this preparation period, that we may not only be able to do so and do so in person and online, but to do so in a safe and as secure and comfortable a manner as possible. At this stage now, I want to invite you to join our praise team as they share a praise song. And then after that, we will have intercessory prayer led by Naya, scripture reading by Nico, and then I'll come back and express thanks for your generous financial support, and then we'll get into the main message for today. Please stay with us.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Youth Sunday Services. We hope our worship will inspire you today.
Friends. Dear God, thank you that we have our online church service today. Please bless us that we will be safe from the virus and that those who are sick will feel better soon. Please help us to make good decisions and to follow your ways. I pray also that you will help us enjoy the summer. Thank you so much for caring for us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Romans 7, verses 15 to 25. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who does it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who does it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So if I find this law at work, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subjugated to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Thank you so very much to our praise team and also to Naya and Nico for sharing the prayer and the scripture reading with us. I also want to, at this stage, specifically say thank you to Grace Communion Richardson members and supporters and others who share our values, who continue to financially support our church and the mission that we are participating in with Jesus in sharing his gospel of love and compassion and in spreading hope, the hope that is in Christ. So thank you for your life of generosity and for your giving. If you want to support our church and our ministry, please, you can see the various ways that you can do so on your screen right now. And you need to know that your generous donations are tax deductible. Thank you so very much. Welcome back to the main message. And the title of this message is The Struggle Within. Young people face many struggles, all kinds of struggles. A lot of these struggles are with other people. More often than not, they are with their own peers, whether at school or in the neighborhood and so on. That's where some of these struggles originate from. However, there is also an inner struggle that our young people go through, an inner struggle about wanting to do the right thing and finding themselves falling short, unable to do what they know is the right thing to do, maybe because of peer pressure or other factors, other reasons. But that's a struggle that goes on as well. The most important struggle our young people go through is the struggle within, the struggle concerning themselves, how they see themselves, their internal conflicts about their sense of self, their sense of worth, their sense of value. It is a struggle that they have. It is a struggle of identity, of accepting that they are loved by God in Jesus. How do we resolve these struggles? Now, I want to invite you to join me as we look at the solution that the Apostle Paul proposes as he talked about his own struggle as a Christian going through life. I know that I have gone through my share of struggles. I still do. I know that I went through some very substantive ones, at least in my own mind, when I was younger, growing up. And I believe anyone who's been young, and I think all of us can lay claim to that, we've been young once, or are still young, go through some of these struggles. I struggled about my sense of self. I had what one would call an inferiority complex. I felt that I was less than others because I did not grow up with a father, because I felt that we were poor and didn't have some of the things that some of my friends had, and so on. And it generated a struggle within me. Part of me wanted to believe that I am no different from others, whilst another part of me felt like I was different from others because I lacked certain things. And that's a struggle that I know that a lot of young people go through. It may not be the struggle of inferiority complex, or the opposite of it, the struggle of superiority complex, because some people feel superior because they feel they have this or that, and the other, they have this or that advantage, and others don't, so they feel superior to others. That's something that is not necessarily helpful either, and it could be a struggle for a young person growing up. So what does Paul, the apostle, say about these kinds of struggles that we go through as human beings, and especially for young people? As I said earlier, our young people face all kinds of struggles. What to believe, what not to believe. What to do, what not to do. What to wear, what not to wear. What to say, what not to say. For a lot of young people, these are really major struggles that they have to deal with. How do we deal with these kinds of struggles? In Romans chapter 7, I thank Nico for sharing this scripture from the Apostle Paul with us. In Romans, the 7th chapter, and in verse 15, Romans chapter 7, and in verse 15, Paul is describing his struggle. And Paul is not a young man at this time. He's an adult. He's an adult, and he's describing the struggle that he had to go through and was going through even as an apostle of Jesus, as someone who was a leader and leading others. He was describing his struggles. In verse 15, the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, he says, "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do." In verse 18, he says, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature." Now, I'm going to explain a little bit what he's doing here, what he's saying here in a minute. But in verse 19, he continues, "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." This is Paul describing a struggle in himself of how he thinks and what he does. He's saying that sometimes, well, maybe the way he's describing it, he's actually saying a lot of the times what he's thinking and what he actually does are not synchronized. They do not match. He's thinking good thoughts. He wants to do certain things that he knows are right and good, but he ends up doing the wrong things. It's like someone who has an addiction of some sort. They know what they are addicted to may be wrong, may be terrible, may be self-destructive, and in fact, maybe not even self-destructive, but destructive to their family and others, friends around them. And they know that. They don't want to do it, but they find themselves going back to it again and again and again. How do you resolve that? So Paul is describing a struggle in himself that any one of us, even those of us who love God, who love the Lord, and who are self-aware, can relate to. That we go through that. We go through these internal struggles about what we know is right and what we end up doing. actually doing. Some commentators say Paul wrote this, the book of Romans, about 20 years into his conversion as a Christian, into his ministry as a Christian. So he's not even talking about the struggle as a new believer. And that tells us another thing. It tells us that just being a Christian, believing in the Lord Jesus, being born again, being converted, having a relationship with God, walking with Jesus, does not mean that you become automatically perfect, that everything you think, mood, or say are right. It doesn't mean that. It actually, as Paul describes here in Romans, and if you start from the very first verse of Romans 7, he's describing how becoming a Christian actually increases your sense of awareness of your limitations. It increases your awareness of how limited you are, how weak you are as a Christian in the face of how perfect and holy and righteous God is. In comparison, the Christian life enables us to have a better understanding of who God is in terms of his love, his compassion, his righteousness, his perfection, his majesty, his glory, and who we are in terms of very weak, very limited people. And it actually then magnifies how much God loves us. The amazingness, if I may coin that term, of God's love for us, as puny and weak as we are. He has set an incredible love on us, a love that did not stop at giving up of his own son for us. In verse 22, let's continue reading. In verse 22, Paul still talking, the seventh chapter of Romans. And in verse 22, Paul writes, "For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" And he doesn't end there. He continues in verse 25. "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." So then, he concludes that passage, "I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." So he's saying, I am not the one who matters in this struggle. Paul is saying, I have a struggle going on. I do not have an answer to it. I am incapable of solving it. I don't have a solution for it. Thank God that he has the solution. And that solution is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what Paul is saying here. Paul is describing the truth about why Jesus is Savior. Not himself, not you, not me. We cannot save ourselves, brothers and sisters. We cannot save ourselves. And that is one of the things that as we growing up as young people, we have to come to understand and accept that we do not have the power, neither do we have the control to do some of the things that we wish we are able to do or want to do. The one person who has the power and the control is God. And he exercises that power and that control through Jesus Christ. And when we talk about control, we're not talking about God coercing or forcing. That's not what I mean by the word control. I'm talking about the ability to harness things that are beyond us. The things that are impossible is possible for God. He's able to control the impossible is what I mean. He is sovereign over these things. So Paul, in verses 22 and 25, 22-25 in Romans chapter 7 is telling us that Jesus is the Savior. When we're going through struggles in life, we need to remember that Jesus is the solution. Jesus is the Savior, not us. On our own, even as Christians who love the Lord, we are incapable of righteousness. Now, that doesn't mean that we do not do good. Doesn't mean that we do not strive to do good, seek to do good, want to do good. That is part of what it means to love the Lord. When you love the Lord, you want to please the Lord. I've explained this before. It's a love relationship. When you have a relationship with someone that you love, you want to please that person, right? You do the things that are pleasing to them, that are a delight to them, that surprises them in a positive way, that lifts them up, that grows them, that strengthens them. And the relationship we have with the Lord is the same. We want to do things that pleases the Lord. However, the difference between our relationship with God and the relationship with each other is that what we do that pleases God is really not for His benefit. It is for our benefit and others around us. Whereas in our relationships with each other, when we please each other, we are doing it for each other's benefit. God does not need us, but want us. God loves us, wants us, desires us. And He shares with us ways of living that are pleasing to Him, that are a reflection of His heart and of His nature, but that are of benefit to us, not necessarily to Him. Right? So Paul is saying Jesus is our Savior in this struggle that we all have, we all go through. Jesus is our righteousness. We do not have righteousness in our innermost being. We're not the source of righteousness. Jesus is. Ultimately, Jesus is the one who resolves the struggle that we go through. And mind you, I use the word ultimately. I'm going to come back to this in a little while, why I'm saying ultimately. Well, let me just say it now, lest I forget, okay? I'm saying ultimately because God does not remove all the struggles that we go through in this life right now. He doesn't remove them right now. He is in them with us. He helps us in them and through them. He walks through our struggles with us. He provides rest for us. He provides guidance for us, wisdom for us. He provides others that He places in our path to help us in our struggles as well. He doesn't remove them immediately, every time. There are some times that He will remove them immediately. I tell you, in my own experience, those are very rare. Most of the time, He just walks with me through the struggles. He provides the strength to go through the struggles. He doesn't remove the struggles themselves. Because the struggle, going through the struggle, has its own benefit. It grows something in us. And so God allows that process to go on and for us to go through that process. So God is the one who ultimately at some point, eventually He's going to remove all our troubles. Scripture promises us that. Well, there will be no more crying, no more suffering, no more sin, no more death. Because the former things will have passed away. Between now and then, He walks with us in our struggles. And we cannot remove a number of these struggles ourselves. It is not us, it is not anyone, but Jesus. So being a Christian does not remove our struggle. We get pointed to Jesus for help in going through those struggles. And we get pointed to Jesus for ultimate relief from the struggles that we go through. Let's read again in chapter 8 of Romans. Nico read this and read the first verse, the 8th chapter of Romans. I'm going to read both verse 1 and 2. Paul continuing. Of course, you have to remember when these scriptures were written in the Greek originally, it doesn't have these chapter breaks that we have in the English that helps us make it easier for us to follow. So this is a continuation of what Paul has been saying about his struggles. He says in verse 1, the 8th chapter, therefore is always what? A reminder of what's gone on before. He's relating it to something else. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So God, in his love and infinite wisdom, does not condemn us for our struggles and for our failures. Paul is saying there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death, which is what he was talking about in the preceding verses, that he sees sin in him, and he who is going to deliver him from this body of death, this body that is given to sin, which leads to death. And he said, thanks, it is through God and by Christ. And then he goes on in chapter 8 and verses 1 to 2 to tell us how amazing. I am not condemned even though I'm going through this struggle. I am not condemned even though I fail. I am not condemned even though I miss the mark. Because Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, brings freedom from sin and from death as we live our lives in him, as we recognize our primary identity to be in him. So, first and foremost, we recognize that we are beloved children of God. Everything else that happens to us, because of this identity, it has an answer, has a solution, which is in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? To me, it is so comforting and encouraging to recognize that with all the struggles that I may have, those struggles cannot defeat me, because the struggle's already been defeated by Jesus Christ. And God does not condemn me as a result of that. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing that we have that gift. So we are not condemned for our struggles and failures. There are three things that Jesus helps us with in our struggles. So young people, listen to this. Let this be an encouragement to you. There are three things that Jesus helps you with and in your struggles. Number one, his Spirit convicts your conscience, my conscience, our conscience, with the gift of understanding right and wrong. What do I mean by that? I am saying that the fact that you are struggling is an indication that you have the gift of understanding right from wrong. If you did not have that gift of understanding, you wouldn't care one way or the other whether you are doing right or wrong. You just do what you do and not give it a second thought. But because you have the gift from the Spirit of Christ of understanding, wait, that's those small boys. This is not right. Why? I really want to do this. That's a gift. Now, you may think it's a bummer, but it's a gift that you have that understanding of what is right and what is wrong. John chapter 16 tells us, verse 7 through 15, I'm not going to read that. If you read that scripture, it tells us that when the Spirit comes, the Spirit convicts of sin, convicts of judgment, convicts of righteousness. The Spirit convicts our consciences. And so when you are able to be self-aware enough to recognize the struggle that you're going through in your thoughts and in your actions, then it's an indication. In fact, it's more than an indication, it's an affirmation that you have been gifted by the Spirit with this awareness, this understanding of right and wrong. The second thing that Jesus helps us in our struggle is that His Spirit gifts us with the delight and the desire to please God, even when we fail at it. That's a gift. The desire, the delight to love God, to please God. That's a gift that God gives us. And that shows in the struggle that we have sometimes. We really want to do what's right. And that desire is a gift from God. And then the third thing that the Spirit helps us is that the Spirit points us to look to Jesus when we are going through struggles. To look to Jesus for rescue, for help, and for the victory that He has already won for you and for me. That's an important gift when you're going through a struggle. No matter what the struggle may be, don't feel and think that you are all alone, that there is no one that can help. No, you're not alone. And there is one who can help. His name is Jesus. You can go to Him with your struggles. You can go to Him with your burdens. He invites you to do so in Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read that. Matthew chapter 11. You may be familiar with this scripture. In Matthew 11 and in verse 28, this is what Jesus says to you and to me, to all of us. Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In other words, have a relationship with me. Let's walk together. Let's hold hands and engage the journey together. And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is basically saying, pour your heart onto me. Share your struggles. Share your burdens. Share your confusion. Share your fears, your anxieties with me. And I will help you. I will lighten the burden. And one of the ways that Jesus lightens the burden for us, friends, is that He pours hope into our hearts through His Spirit. He helps us to understand that this too shall pass, whatever it is that we're going through, that He's in it with us. And He provides the strength and the peace for us to continue on, even when whatever it is not removed from our lives. He helps us to continue. I know that has been the case in my own life more than once. I go through these struggles, different kinds at different times in my life, and my understanding of the presence of God, my understanding of the love of God, my understanding that I'm not alone in this situation, whatever the situation is, helps lighten the burden provides a certain hope and a certain peace. And that is what Jesus promises as he sees us through these struggles. So what is it that you are struggling with? I hope that you will take up Jesus' invitation and that you will go to him with your struggles. Would you accept the truth of who he is, the one who is present with you, the one who is with you in your struggle, the one who will help you through it all, the one who has won the victory already for you, so that no matter what happens, in the end, nothing can separate you from the love that he has for you. And as Romans 8 continues to say, you know, and I will urge you to read all of Romans 8. Now, one of the more popular verses is in this chapter of Romans. In verse 28, he says, "For we know that all things work out for good." Or another way of putting it, God works all things out for good for those who love him, those he's called according to his purpose. Further down the scripture, in the same chapter of Romans 8, he says that no one can condemn us. God does not condemn us, echoing verse 1 and in verse 2, because Jesus died and rose again for us, that he who did not spare his son, how much more will he not give us all things with his resurrected son? And then he goes on to say, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And he lists all kinds of things, all kinds of major things that our struggle, our inner struggle, more often than not, does not even come close to in terms of how devastating those things may be. He lists a lot of them, including death. And he says, none of them can separate us from the love that God has for you and for me that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, would you go to the one who holds you in the palm of his hand and who says, come to me with your struggles? Would you lean on him for victory and for relief and for peace? I pray that you do. Jesus does not promise us easy, but he promises with you. Let me say that again. Jesus does not promise us easy, but he promises with you. And he says, I'll be with you even till the end of the age. And he, friends, is a person of his word. Amen. My prayer, Lord, is that you will help us and our precious young people to know that you love them, that you are present and available for them in their struggles, that your presence and help is often available also through parents and other appropriate people, that you do not condemn them for who they are. You accept them for who they are, where they are, and that you invite them to your rest and to your success and to your peace and to your fulfillment in you. Help us all, O Lord, to know and accept this and to live it out in support and in help of one another, to your praise and to your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday as we journey together to know Jesus and to make him known. And at this time, I'd like to invite you to join our praise team as they conclude this message with a praise song from Grace Communion Richardson. God bless you and see you next Sunday.
There's revival and it's spreading.
like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Oh, once you choose it, you can't lose it. Oh, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Oh, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. In the valleys that I wander, turn to mountains that I can't climb. Oh, you are with me, never leave me. Oh, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
Clap your hands and stop your feet till you find the gospel beat, cause it's all you'll ever need. All you'll ever need.
Clap your hands and stop your feet till you find that gospel beat, cause it's all you'll ever need. All you'll ever need. Clap your hands and stop your feet till you find that gospel beat, cause it's all you'll ever need. All you'll ever need.
I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful.